The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Joining your hosts, Elizabeth Woodward
and Aaron Ryan,
with broken leg, and Ryan has a sty in her eye and a cold. But no, we're here.
I don't have as much of a cold as last week, though. I'm moving on.
We're here, and the broken foot is getting better, although I'm still gimpy.
And she has a real cast this week.
I do. It's black.
Thank goodness,
you know,
it's radio.
I got to tell you, when I went in to get my cast, the nurse said, okay, you have your choice between hot pink, lime green, orange, red, purple, and black. And I said, you don't have white? And she says, no, that gets pretty grungy. And I said, okay, well, since I'm not 12, I'll take black.
and it is stunning, I must say.
Thank you.
Yes, for the well-dressed woman, a black cast.
Yes,
absolutely.
It goes with my little black dress really
well. That's right. You never know when you'll be invited to something formal, and that whole lime green thing just might not work.
No. I didn't think it would. And we're here with our engineer, Bob Martin. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Elizabeth. Good morning, Aaron.
Bob, do we have good music to look forward to today?
Oh, we do, yes.
Oh, we do, he says.
Yeah, Bob has taken over the music library.
Yeah.
Okay, doing so what's a our fine
topic?
Job.
What's our topic this week? I'm like, oh, it's Agenda 21. You got nothing but fun coming your way.
Yeah. All things Agenda 21, it's interesting because you take all these little things out in the horizon that are happening, and they all have little arrows pointing in the same direction.
Yeah, it's pretty tidy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy, but tidy.
Yeah.
I mean, once you kind of figure it out. The thing is, you have to get past the part where they tell you that, oh, it's a UN thing, we never ratified the treaty, it's not really happening, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yes, it is. Just look at the documentation.
Yeah.
So we have Michael Shaw on with us this morning at Freedom Advocates, and just in case we forget here, since we're kind of being kind of loosey-goosey this morning, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, at that website, Robert, who has put together all these pages for us, which is awesome, he maintains that site for us. You can find all the archives of previous shows, and there are other shows actually about Agenda 21 and all the things about that. Because when you start getting into limited government and fiscal responsibility and following the Constitution, and then you look at what's going on today with our state government, our local governments in many cases, our federal government, and our agency overreach and our regulations, I mean, really and truly, what can we not include in this program?
Yeah, because it starts at the local
level. I mean, it's everywhere.
Level.
So,
it starts as local as your water board and your school district and your fire department. And
hey, I'd super focus on your water board, speaking of that.
Yeah. Do you have a septic system? Look out.
Yeah, because it's on the 29th. Uh-oh. I'm not looking at it right at the moment. Stall for time. October 29th.
There will be a meeting with the Water Control Board.
Yeah, if it has control in the name, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, right there.
Those guys have a really super brilliant idea, about coming after our septic tanks. Here we go. Water Quality Board public meeting. Septic tank regulation. It's at the David Marr Theater at the Shasta Learning Center on Eureka Way. There are other ones in different places, but they're offering these things from 1 to 4. And from 6 to 9. So here in Reading, there's two different times. I also gave you the website, actually, if you look in there. It is, I'll have Robert put it up on We the People. How about that? So you guys don't have to try to figure that out. We will put it on the chat room, too, because if you go to We the People, you click on the listen button, then you can get into the chat room. Then you can get another bunch of good stuff. So anybody who's just on the phone is going, oh, dang it, I wish I had a chat room. Notice is hereby given that the State Water Resources Control Board has completed a draft state policy for water quality control for sitting design, operation, and management of on-site water treatment systems and substitute environmental document for public review. No, not really. It's never for public review. It's more just a shot over the bow, actually. The adoption of policies for water quality control have been certified as exempt regulatory programs under, and this is this whole thing that goes out. So people go, I don't know what this is. It's about your septic system, folks. So these meetings are happening all over the place, and I would encourage you to get other people there. They're happening in other towns. Like I said, I will put this up on the chat room. We'll get it up on the website as well. And that way you guys can follow along, because you don't want to miss these meetings, although they are incredibly boring. You should pipe up during public comment, because most of that is public record.
Yeah.
Don't go down without a fight.
Yeah, and your comments will be recorded as public record. So this is your chance, your opportunity. You can't say we didn't tell you so. Get out there, go to these meetings, because they're coming to you. They're coming to your backyard.
There you have it. So let's get Mr. Shaw on here, and let's see. Here we go. Michael Shaw, I'm going to read his bio so he doesn't have to do it, and then he can fill in the blanks. He's the leading critic of sustainable development. Yay, that makes him our hero. Also known as UN's Agenda 21, which is the action plan implementing the globalist One World Vision. Also bad. This year, Michael has been and will be speaking around the country, delivering his current speech, The Ultimate War: Globalism versus America. In this expose, he illustrates the local infiltration of globalist policy in the community in which he is speaking. And that's not tough. I mean, when you start looking at globalism, if you haven't spotted that in your local community, you're not looking. Isn't that right, Michael?
Well, that sure is. it's wonderful to be back with you again. You ladies are early risers, I must say.
No, we're not, really. That's a lie.
Yeah. Again, faces for radio.
Exactly.
Legs, eyes, you name it. We're all about radio if you took a look at us right now.
We're not wearing our pajamas or anything. You know, we draw the line there. That's still not okay. We're too old for that.
That's good.
If we were younger, we'd be here in our pajamas.
Exactly.
So,
your summary of get out to these meetings is important, but I'm going to make a little side note there. You know, go to the meetings, even if you don't know what's going on with globalism in the world or in your community. But you are not in a position to have to be anything but marginalized unless you understand the root of what creates these little stakeholder council dynamics in your community and in every community in America. So you've got to understand what they're up to, what their bottom line is, and what their tactics are. That stuff is readily understandable, but in the big picture, every citizen has to understand what Agenda 21 is, because if you don't know their game plan, you'll be suckered. I mean, this is the most brilliant political economic program in the history of the world. It is designed to create a one-world government with many fewer people on this planet, where no one has any natural rights, where everyone becomes treated like chattel. So this is the most important endeavor humanity has ever had to face up to. So if you go to these meetings, it's important to go to these school board meetings and these water board meetings and the fire board meetings, because that's where it all starts. Everyone today in California elected to these councils is on the Agenda 21 protocol. They call themselves stakeholders, meaning that they have a stake to drive into the heart of your property. That's why if you've got a septic up in Siskiyou, you better catch on quickly, because the goal is to move you into little cities, not little cities, into big cities, to move you out of Siskiyou.
Yeah, we've
turned Siskiyou into a wildland.
Well, and, you know, it's funny because they call it stack and pack housing and different things like that. You know, we've chosen to call them rabbit hutches. We're not going to call them housing at all, because, you see, beef is unsustainable on their list, so they're going to make us just eat vegetables in tiny little houses, and you know where I come from, that's a rabbit hutch. So, rabbit hutches over metro stations, and that should be a vivid picture for most people.
Well, you know, and you get into a place like your county, and it's tough to imagine much of even that. There are places. Over 50% of the landscape of America is designed now under this new system of stakeholder interests The design is to vacate over 50% of America from any human population. And it means we can't take any resources from these landscapes. Siskiyou is part of that. It's a program for the 21st century, so no, it's not going to be vacated tomorrow. But they're ahead of their schedule in terms of creating the kinds of bottlenecks that communities, that citizens, that landowners have to face. And the pressure is going to continue to mount. And of course, the best tool they've got for creating pressure on local residents in these projected wildland areas is to deny them their water. Control the water, mm-hmm. You can control the people. If you take control of the water, you can move the people out. And that's what this dam busting is all about.
Yeah, it becomes painfully clear because, see, the North Coast Water Quality Board, now we've got this one water board here is doing this thing with septic tanks, but then with the other hand, they're working on nutrient levels in the Klamath Basin now. They want to study and implement controls on nutrient levels. I'm like, what are we talking about? Orange juice?
Yeah.
What the heck?
And don't forget, this is always with taxpayer dollars.
Of course. So we have to decide how much nutrient we have in the creeks and streams and stuff. Now they have, you know, it's funny when you read, this just came out last week, but when you look at just behind their public announcement, if you click on anything, it says that they have no idea what the appropriate levels are. Like, are you kidding me? They're using the word regulate and they have no idea what's supposed to be there?
Well, this is standard. It's swept the state. We've had these studies here in Santa Cruz. The farmers are now yelping. And yet, they can yelp all they want until the farmers, whether they're in Pajaro Valley here in Santa Cruz County or farmers and ranchers up in Siskiyou and the whole Sierras, the whole of the Central Valley, the whole of California, really, until people begin to figure out that the attacks on our system are coming from a massive fifth column that sits within our system today. And until we know what we're fighting, you can rest assured you're going to lose.
Yeah, that's pretty much on point there, I think, with everything we've seen, because, I really think the best illustration of that most people would relate to, especially in Northern California, is the spotted owl. I mean, people thought they were actually talking about, you know, some kind of science and some kind of bird. And it turned out at the end of the day that it had nothing to do with that. And by the time I think everyone figured that out, we were completely surrounded.
Yes.
And kind of here we are back again, standing in the middle of this, looking at this circular firing squad, wondering how come they don't hit each other? Could they be planning this? You know what? We better take a swift break here. Let's take a quick two-minute break. We'll be right back with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. And we'll be talking to you here on KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People Talk Radio. Give us a call. We're at 530-605-4567. We're chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. Check out the media page. All things about Michael Shaw and Freedom Advocates. And we're back.
Yeah, and the people who tell us lies. Let's just tie that up in a bow.
Yeah, lots of those. Lots of those. Trust your friends, your neighbors, but not the government.
Well, it depends on what your neighbors do. Okay, so Michael Shaw.
You women always pick up on key issues. Watch what your neighbors do.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that this fifth column I referred to earlier is everywhere. Teachers' colleges put out nothing but fifth columners to teach your children. And that's why that's the bleakest part of the story, I think, is that our young people are being trained in this interdependence and this stakeholder mentality. There is no notion of natural rights or unalienable rights being taught our children by today's school teachers. And you say, well, gee, I know school teacher Mary Jane lives down the street. She's a sweet woman. Maybe. But politically, the political economics behind all school teaching today is for the globalist order. The globalist order owns Washington, D.C., and we can certainly illustrate that and probably have in past shows. But it's down to your school board and your fire board, and that's why we got to start at the bottom and clean it out, recapture our communities, then the broader landscape. Because if we don't, this globalist one-world program called Agenda 21 or Sustainable Development will continue to be implemented. And what that means is that our children, who already sense something bad is up, you know, there's not much enthusiasm when you graduate from college these days. You just have a lot of debt and nowhere to go. It's going to get worse. They're going to get angry. This country's going to start to shake and rattle and roll. That's exactly what the globalists want. You see that dawning with the Tea Party movement combined now with this Occupy movement. They're going to put them to heads. And conflagration is going to begin.
Yeah, we're staying way out of the way of those guys. I had a reporter call the other day and said, well, is the Tea Party going to counter-protest? It's like, no. No.
Well, that would be wise. I mean, they're trying. This is the old General Fabian routine. You know, you gather everybody you want to attack. You get them mad at each other. They attack each other. You sit there and watch and wait and clean up the mess when it's over. The Fabian organization coming out of Great Britain is dead center in the middle of this globalist action plan. And they of course, take their name from this Roman general who learned the practice of setting his opposition off against each other, you know, Tea Parties versus Occupy Parties. And then it's easy to wipe them both out after they've effectively wiped each other out. And that's what we see happening all around the world. Muslims on the attack, fully integrated into the UN system, and fully using their status to attack Western civilization. And the expectation on this global level is the Western civilization will attack back. And at the end of the battles, the globalists have their objectives met: a destabilized society, reduced population, and people looking and begging for control. You say, well, what's that got to do with Siskiyou and your water problems? It has everything to do
mm-hmm.
with
that. Yeah, well, because it isn't just that. I mean, it isn't just one agency. I mean, I think we counted one time, and it's like, I don't know, 9 of them, you know, state and federal, that are kind of, they're after one piece. And, well, this one's over here, then you've got another one over there. And they overlap, but not exactly.
Well, that's right. And they have their legion of NGOs. And you got to know what an NGO is, non-governmental organization. An NGO is an organization, and there are tens of thousands of them in the United States. It's an organization that has been accredited by the UN for purposes of implementing Agenda 21. The Chamber of Commerce is an NGO. The American Farm Bureau is an NGO. It's not just the Sierra Club and the Audubon Society. They have taken control over the last 50 years of every significant organization in America. So all of us Americans who are not part of any of these, and that's most of us, are surrounded.
And
that's why, to fight back, we've got to understand what we're fighting against. Otherwise, you will be co-opted into compromises. Give them wins.
Talk to people, and for the folks that are going, I don't have the vaguest idea what these guys are talking about. We probably should have put that disclaimer out at the beginning. That this is a fairly complicated subject, but not really. I mean, the idea isn't complicated.
Right.
So for somebody who's going, I've never even heard of any of this stuff, and I don't think the UN has any teeth, and so I'm not even sure this is real.
Well, and what would I say to that?
Exactly.
Well, Agenda 21 grew out of a UN conference in 1992 called the Earth Summit. It was held in Rio de Janeiro. There were 178 nations who signed on to Agenda 21. That's essentially the whole world. George Bush Sr. signed on behalf of the United States while traveling down to Rio to visit Prince Charles in his yacht, which was parked there at the time. Well, what happened from there was that George Bush came back, and the UN had determined, this is out of just thin air, had determined that Agenda 21 was a soft law treaty, which means it needs no approval from Congress. It did not need to be ratified. It's soft law. You don't have to. These are all recommendations that you're to come home with, each country around the world, and imbue into your system. So what George Bush did is he came back and he made the primary charge of every federal agency the implementation of Agenda 21. That's what the Department of Interior exists for, as well as the Department of Education, is to advance the Agenda 21 principles. So in 1993, Clinton set up the President's Council for Sustainable Development with some of the leading NGOs in the environmental movement, a few luminaries like Ken Lay of Enron. PG&E was on this small council created by Clinton. And they then came up with the smart growth system and the whole Wildlands Implementation Program, which has been carried out since 1992 everywhere, and it's been accelerating as they gain more and more momentum, as they get more and more fifth column coming out of college, people who are just ready to join in this globalist program.
So when you say fifth column, define that for people.
Well, people who are old enough or who study the right history books and learning about World War II know that before World War II broke out, there was a fifth column all over Europe and even in America. What the fifth column was the extra force that Hitler had who were supporting his movement. The Ford Foundation was part of the fifth column for World War II. IBM was part of the fifth column for World War II. This was people and corporations and organizations that supported Adolf Hitler in its early years. That's the only reason Adolf Hitler got anywhere, was because of his support from American corporations and from European heavyweights. So the fifth column is, are traitors to an existent system and people who are revolutionaries looking to make big changes. And so today we have another fifth column that has been assembled around the world, and certainly heavily focused here in the United States, for purposes of bringing about the final plans of Agenda 21.
So, all right, I guess we're supposed to take a little break here again. Drats. When we come back, though, would you explain, because I have people in the chat room saying that there are lots of organizations that are non-governmental organizations that are not part of this. So maybe we need to tidy up what qualifies as a true NGO. I mean, I'm not a governmental organization, but that doesn't mean I qualify as an NGO. I think we need to clear that part up. We will come back in 2 minutes with Michael Shaw and find out about NGOs here a little bit more. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
That justice is one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
All together now. For our own pips.
You are not joining CSI. You are joining We the People Talk Radio. Welcome
back.
But
you might not be able to tell the difference for a little while.
Give us a call at 530-605-4567. We're talking to Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates. He's going to tell us what's a real NGO and what's not an NGO.
Yeah, because we've got a bunch of people in the chat room that are saying, like, Jerry's Kids is an NGO and all that kind of stuff. So what qualifies as an NGO?
Well, a real NGO is one that is sanctioned by the United Nations. Now, I could go out and form a Michael's Native Landscape Program and call myself a non-governmental organization, thinking that simply means that the government's not directing my program. I can do that. I can call it an NGO, but you're not an NGO, because a real NGO is accredited by the UN.
The stamp, of approval.
The stamp of approval, she says.
The stamp of approval.
You're special.
And I would not be at all surprised if Jerry's Kids was not an NGO. And you say, well, how could that be? And I say, well, because if you're in the cool crowd, there's status associated with being an NGO, and you've got to do something to advance the cause. But, you know, your central focus could be on helping children. Now, I'm not saying that Jerry's Kids is a UN NGO, because I don't know. But there are many organizations like that that are NGOs and that do know. And that's why anyone who calls themselves an NGO, you've got to be very leery of.
Now, where would somebody go to look at a list for that, say?
Well, it's not easy to get a comprehensive list. Ron Arnold has done the best work on this subject, and I believe, you know, his book from 5 or 6 years ago had a list at the time of all the NGOs. But if you've got a specific organization, I think you can Google that up and trace it back. I mean, it would be easy to cause identification with the American Chamber of Commerce and its NGO status, or the American Farm Bureau and its NGO status. Those are easy. Sierra Club, of course, is automatic. They brag about it. But there are literally tens of thousands of NGOs operating in the United States that are accredited by the UN for purposes of implementing Agenda 21. This is a massive fifth column designed to take down America.
I'm looking at, just did a little Google search, and I found www.ngo.org, and on there it gives, you know, it's not a comprehensive list, but it says alphabetic listing of NGOs affiliated with the United Nations, and you see things like the American Humanist Association, Association for Progressive Communications, Association for Sustainable Human Development. It's like, okay.
Sustainable Human Development. That sounds like a science experiment.
I'm seeing all our little friends on here. But I don't see Jerry's Kids. But this is by no means comprehensive, because I can scroll it in about a second, and I know this list is probably just massive.
You know, someone like Jerry's Kids ought to be sophisticated enough to know that NGO is a term of art, and if they do not want that term of art applied to them, they need to not reference themselves as an NGO.
No, I think it was...
They're a charitable organization.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. Call yourself what you are.
Yeah, it was just a speculation by somebody on our chat room that all charitable organizations were NGOs, but...
No, that's not true.
No. Cool. All right. Well, we got that squared away there. And, you know, if anybody wants to call in and actually ask a question rather than have me reiterate what's on the chat room, you're welcome to do that at 530-605-4567. Since we're actually doing this live, this isn't pre-recorded, which we have done before. Also, we did have a question on the chat that said that somebody wanted to ask you where the NGOs get their funding.
Oh, boy. A million different ways. The Sierra Club gets their funding a large part through citizens. There's always some big foundations behind it. You'll see the typical players. I'll throw out an NGO we'll talk about more later, I'm sure, called ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, and they are running everything in California these days. And where do they get their money? They get their money from the Rockefeller Foundation. Their money from the Carnegie Foundation.
Yeah.
This organization, this NGO called ICLEI, is says that the United Nations is going to reorganize itself into the United League of Cities. Now, ICLEI is about causing your city to become an international member of the ICLEI Congress. ICLEI intends its policies and its structure to eventually dominate the global governance apparatus. Now, ICLEI, you'll find all over this state, there are 178 cities which are dues-paying members of this organization. And the organization's effort is to implement Agenda 21, meaning for where you live, meaning the Wildlands Project. And you'll find ICLEI tied up to PG&E these days, tied up to the water resource groups, tied into the Metropolitan Transit Organizations, tied into the Metropolitan Planning Organizations, which come from the federal government for the purpose of implementing Agenda 21 in your community. The infrastructure for the imposition of these property right denying goals of the New World Order are coming at us from many, many directions. And it's because of the existence, the broad existence of these NGOs led by organizations such as ICLEI.
And for folks who are unclear what ICLEI is and does, would you give them as a thumbnail for that?
Okay. ICLEI is a NGO that operates throughout the world. Its focus, frankly, is on the United States. Half of its member cities are American cities. ICLEI has contracts with 600 American cities, including Bloomberg-led New York City, and 178 cities in California. California is the concentration around the world of ICLEI cities. So ICLEI is an international organization, an international NGO with capital headquarters on each of the continents. For the North American continent, their capital is in Oakland, California. So what happens when ICLEI gets into your city and has a contract, like it does here in Santa Cruz, has a contract with both the city and the county. But what happens is if you've got an ICLEI city within five counties of where you live, then you can rest assured with great discomfort that the policy apparatus governing you is coming from ICLEI. Because what ICLEI does is, let's say it has a contract with Oklahoma City. Well, once it has a contract with any city or county, it immediately ties itself into the Metropolitan Planning Organization or the Council of Government. Now, this gets a little complicated because most Americans, when they go to school in eighth grade and learn about the establishment of the American government, the operation of the American government, come to learn that there are three branches of government: federal, state, and local. But that's not true. There's a fourth level of government that's been operating in this country since the 1960s. And it's called regional government. And it is coordinated through a system of metropolitan planning organizations. You have one up there, and that is called, hang with me for a minute here, that is called SC. CRTRA. Is that something you're familiar with?
Say that again.
It's called SCRT.
Oh, yeah. Shasta County Regional Transportation Planning Authority.
Yes.
How scary is that? I can just rattle that off.
Okay.
I've come a long way.
Well, you know, you have, because that is the organization that runs your local government. We no longer have local government. What we have are outposts of federal governance. And that federal government that we work with today is committed to Agenda 21. And it doesn't matter if it was Bush 1 or Clinton or Bush 2 or Obama. It won't matter if it's Romney or Cain. All of these people are committed to globalism.
I do believe
both political parties are committed to globalism. So we've got nowhere to run with our political institutions.
You know, I think that just answered a question on the chat room about who you would who you'd vote for in the Republican nomination. And I don't know who you plan on voting for, or if you even know, but it almost is a moot point, because this has become a completely nonpartisan, non-party issue.
True. There is no one at the federal level. There is no one in Congress, including McClintock, who will face this issue, because if they do, they're out of their party. The Republican Party, and this is why, this will give a foreshadow of my answer to that question. The Republican Party is a leader, in what's called the International Democrat Union.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the International Democrat Union is a consolidation of 80 self-described right-of-center parties from around the world. It's led by the Conservative Party of Great Britain, Cameron, and the Labour Party of Australia, and the GOP. For the GOP, the head leaders are George Bush Sr. and Governor Haley Barbour of Mississippi. The purpose of the IDU, this is the driving point for the Republican Party, the purpose of the IDU is for the universal adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That means the Declaration of Independence is a bygone. The Declaration of Human Rights says that all the rights, this is in Article 29 of that document, it says all the rights and freedoms granted herein are subject to policies and principles as adopted from time to time by the UN. So in other words, your right to property is only valid for as long as they say you have the right to use your property. And as soon as they say you don't, because we've got to save the water for the fish, you're simply out of luck. There is nothing immutable. And this is the Republican Party's cornerstone. You say, well, I don't think it really runs the Republican Party. I'll say to you, the IDU holds their international conference every 4 years, the same date in the same city as the GOP presidential nomination. The candidates go back and forth between these two conferences. There is no way you get nominated as a Republican without being a globalist. So you say, well, what do? We certainly don't want Barack Obama. I say, well, what you do is you do exactly what you ladies were talking about as you opened this show, and that is you get control of your school board, because that's where the real damage is being done. You get control of your water boards, because that's how you're being driven off your property. You get control of your fire boards, because fire policy is designed to move people out of rural areas.
I've got a little news flash on that one, too. CAL FIRE just decided, where was this? Trinity County?
CAL FIRE is big in this whole movement.
Oh, right. Yeah, they are.
Right, but I can't remember. I think it was, I'm going to misspeak. I thought it was Trinity County. Anyway, they've decided to pull out all their stations up in the forested areas.
Well, this is happening everywhere. We learned last week the Santa Cruz Mountains, which are pretty heavily populated, has three fire stations. And now the inside word is not public yet. The inside word is that they're going to close their Santa Cruz Mountain stations down, which which means it's only a matter of time before the Santa Cruz Mountains are burned out.
That's right. It's Santa Cruz. It was you that was telling me that. I was thinking it was Trinity County. That's right. You told me that. And I was like, well.
And yet our taxpayer dollars are still funding them.
Well, and the fees are going up because now they've instituted this rural fire fee. So how does that work? How does the rural fire fee work for you guys if they're going to pull them out of there?
Well, my understanding is that the County Board of Supervisors here wants them out.
That's interesting.
Hey, now, Santa Cruz,
I'd look closely at your Board of Supervisors.
Well, you know, you need to look closely at your Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, we all do.
In fact, there isn't a county in California that doesn't need to do that. No one seems ready to, elected officials at that level, ready to acknowledge the reality. And that's because, again, they know that the reason the politicians don't talk about Agenda 21, you know, the reason why McClintock plays silly games in discussing Agenda 21 is because they will lose the support of their party.
That makes sense.
And that's the case. You know, you can say school boards are not partisan, but, you know, the political parties do get people elected to school boards. And if you talk about Agenda 21, there will be a big surge to keep you from being elected. And so we need to do an end run there. We need to make sure that the citizens of our communities understand Agenda 21, and then the political parties won't be able to stop us. We'll start at the we'll start where it counts, in our home community. That's where government governs most. That's where the American system is predicated. We need to recapture local government. And if you've got politicians, you know, playing, you know, this halfway position on your dam busting issue, for instance, you need to get new supervisors. You need to get supervisors who are going to say, we're keeping our dams. We're going to condemn those dams if they're private and Buffett won't go along with us. We're going to condemn them, and we're going to say no to the requirements of the federal government with respect to updates that we simply can't afford.
Yeah, that's the and therein lies the problem. We have a caller on the line, but we better take a quick break here. We're going to be up against the hour. Be back in 2 minutes with Nate. So hang in there with us here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Every breath you take.
Conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair. Cause I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch. But maybe showers remind me of psycho too much. That's why
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
And I have no privacy.
The Smart Meter theme song.
Yeah. Welcome back to We the People Talk Radio. On the phone, 605-4567, chatting and streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us. And before we get back to Mr. Michael Shaw, we've got Nate on the phone. Good morning, Nate.
Hello.
Thanks for holding
on.
How are
you doing?
We're great. Thanks for holding on.
Good. No problem.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple things. Michael was talking about there's nobody in the federal government that's worth a damn, really. Well, I take exception to that with one person, and that's obviously Ron Paul, because he had been against the Republican neocon establishment, just like he's against Obama and the rest of them now. He's all about property rights and everything. But he's absolutely right that it's all about the local levels where we're going to change things. But if we can get Ron Paul in, he might not be able to get things done, but we'll be able to see what's been going on. He'll at least open the books for us, and that's what I think. And so I just kind of wanted to bring that point up, and I wanted to tell everybody, if anybody wanted to, we're going to have a Ron Paul picketing for president at 4:30 tomorrow right in front of Sears, right there on Hilltop and Dana. So 4:30 if anybody wanted to show up.
Nice. Great. Thanks, Nate. Do you have any thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, I do. I won't make myself popular with Nate, but this is what I have to say about Ron Paul. I was an enthusiastic supporter of Ron Paul in 2008. I even changed my party affiliation to be able to vote for him in the primary election. But I have met Ron Paul on several occasions, and Ron Paul has been to some conferences that I've spoken at where he or his chief of staff, his former chief of staff, had spoken. Ron Paul is very familiar with Agenda 21. He won't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to ask yourself, why won't he talk about it? Well, I have a theory. That theory is that, you know, Ron Paul's intellectual support comes from the Austrian economists. That's a theory of economics that, as propelled by Ludwig von Mises, is an outstanding one. But today it's led, the Mises organization is led by a man named Lou Rockwell. And Rockwell's a brilliant guy. He used to work on Capitol Hill, and Ron Paul and Lou Rockwell are, you know, I've spoken down at that organization, and, you know, when Ron Paul's there, he walks into Lou Rockwell's office like it's his own. Now, yes, why do I bring all that up? Well, I bring it up because Lou Rockwell is a guy who says, much like the globalists say, we're going to break America up into 500 pieces. We're going to break down this federal government by localizing everything. Well, it's the same plan that Ickley has. And so it makes me a little nervous when I find Ron Paul so close to such a disturbing goal. I'm also bothered that Ron Paul calls for a gold standard. Now, I agree that's what our Constitution calls for. I agree that's a system that makes sense and is worthwhile. But the problem is that when you create a fiat system, that is, you money out of thin air and you loan it out to the rest of the world and you get all the interest for hundreds of years and now you own the world, don't you think by that time these people who created the system have a quorum on the gold? So going from a funny money fiat system, the worst system imaginable we have right now, to gold system would simply concentrate the power in the devils that went and created the fiat system in the first place. So I think that that's handing, it's going from the frying pan into the fire when we go to a gold system, because he who has the gold will rule, and then will rule much more viciously than the rule we're experiencing today. So I don't think a gold standard is the right way to go. I don't think that the Lou Rockwell program is the right way to go. And when I ask personally, one-on-one, Ron Paul, what about Agenda 21? He looks at me and he says, not enough people know about it. I'm not going to discuss it.
Yeah, I
cannot win a war without knowing who your enemy is, and Ron Paul won't identify the enemy.
Okay, guys, we got to take a hard break here for the news. You're going to have Nate's all, okay. Hey, Nate, you know how this works. Come on, guys, hold on.
I know.
Five minutes, and we'll be right back at it. Everybody stay where you are, or go get more coffee, and then come back in 5 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Joining the second hour of We the People Talk Radio with your hosts Aaron Ryan and Elizabeth Woodward and our great sound engineer and music extraordinaire Bob Martin.
Good morning once again.
So if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Agenda 21, and we're with Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates. And, you know, before we get into the discussion between Nate, our caller on the line, and Michael Shaw, I wanted to sort of point out an illustration of what this looks like at the local level. I was in our city hall earlier this week, and I was in the Redevelopment Fund department talking to them about development, and if you look around your neighborhoods and your community, and more specifically if you're in this area, you'll notice that there's not a lot of construction going on, and certainly not in the private sector. Everywhere you go, you see nothing happening. But right behind our city hall is a building that's about 3 to 4 stories high, you know, maybe half a block deep. Come to find out, as it's being actively and quickly constructed, that this project will house market rent and subsidized rented living spaces with commercial and building on the bottom floor. That is the perfect description of, you know, basically what Aaron refers to as a rabbit hutch. This is a very indicative of how the vision of our living quarters will be. We will be in buildings in small units with all of our needs taken care of on the bottom floor at street level. But this construction is active, and this construction somehow miraculously is being financed.
Interesting. And if you think this is fake, I would encourage you next time you're driving down, let's see, what is it, 580 that goes through Walnut Creek? If you're going down 580 sometime in the Bay Area, headed between, say, Vallejo and San Jose on that strip there, you will see an exit called Treat Boulevard. So give yourself a treat and get off there on Treat Boulevard. Head west just about 2 blocks off the freeway, and you will see the rabbit hutches right above some businesses. Well, okay. We'll call it Spaces for Businesses. They built this like a year ago. I mean, it's been quite a while. It's right there by the BART station, so you don't need a car. You're only allowed to have one parking space, and it only fits a bicycle. And you got these little apartments up there, and they're right above retail. Isn't that great? Everything you ever needed. Oh, but wait. After a whole year, they have a Starbucks in there. They have a zillion square feet of retail space, but nobody wants to go in there because there's no parking. So this magical dream is just like...
Should have made it a drive-thru.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, not good. So lest we get lost in the shuffle here, Nate and Mr. Shaw, we're having a little chat here about monetary system, Ron Paul, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Okay, here we'll give you the bell. Ding! Go for it, guys.
Well, really quick, Ron Paul does... mention Agenda 21 on his websites, and he does talk about it. I understand. I mean, it is a huge problem too. There's just so many problems that he must talk about and deal with, and this is a big one, so I'm not saying he should neglect it at all. So with that said,
well, I would say there are not so many problems. We can get lost in the maze. The Agenda 21 really triggers a thousand battles. We can't win 1,000 battles. We have to cut off Agenda 21 at its head. And, Paul's expression to me was, not enough people know about Agenda 21. I'm not going to make it an issue. Now, this is a few years ago. He can change that. He doesn't do that in his public speeches. But I'm going to say that if two things were focused upon, one is the monetary system, and Paul does a good job on that, although I think his resolution is not the right resolution. But then to focus on Agenda 21 and really make that an issue. He's never raised it in a debate. He has
right.
No
would
identification
the powers
with
to be
the issue.
Were from this fiat system, though, the Federal Reserve, I mean, wouldn't you say these are the guys that are putting forth the Agenda 21?
Absolutely.
But they're not controlling the debates, though.
Well, no, I know. But I'm saying he's going after the main problem. So if you get rid of the Federal Reserve, then you probably help end Agenda 21.
Well, you cannot jump to that conclusion. If you end this, the monetary system and substitute a gold system, and the same globalist bankers control a quorum on the gold, we're going to go from a bad situation to a worse situation.
Well,
the American
like we
public
war,
must
right?
be awakened to what really is assaulting us, and that is the programs and procedures of Agenda 21. And until I hear a presidential nominee beginning to talk about that as the core issue facing America today, I say, don't pay attention to the federal situation. You know,
well,
voting for Ron Paul is fine.
Not,
you know, it's a whole lot better than Mitt Romney.
But I'm saying we should probably get back to at least what the Constitution says, because we still have this concentration of power with this fiat money system, but now they can get us $14 trillion in debt instead. But at least with the gold standard, we can save our economy and not have these inflation problems. And that's all I really think is the difference between the gold and the fiat, is that we won't have this mass inflation and this in our country going bankrupt.
But you
well,
see,
I think that's true, and the fiat system is very important. But it is what is the substitute fiat system, and all I do is put up the red flag and say a gold system could be very dangerous. It is the constitutional system. It is a system, a monetary system that works, but not if you start the game with one player with all the chips.
Right.
The citizens of America
wars like that,
do not own gold.
And that's when Lincoln went to the fiat system.
Say that again?
Controlled most of the gold. Wasn't it during the Civil War, you know, the Democratic South controlled most of the gold, and Lincoln started the greenbacks to combat that and to help fund the wars, too, but...
Right.
That, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I just wanted your opinion. You just don't even want to worry about the federal government problem?
No, I think the federal government is so lost
right.
that it's going to take local resolution. And as long as you've got these mealy-mouthed guys on the Board of Supervisors who are pandering to the dam-busting up there, you do not have elected representatives of the public interest. And it's hard to get a president elected before you elect a mayor. We've got to start where it counts, where government is closest to the people, and create the wave up to D.C. It is not going to be a wave down from D.C. America is about self-governance. Local government is closest to the family unit. That's where we've got to start the cleanup and then expand to the federal government. We are not going to be saved by anybody running for president because, you still have 100 senators who are committed to Agenda 21 and 435 congressmen who are. And having a president who doesn't talk about it is not going to save the day. That being said, he's a whole lot better than Mitt Romney, because if you Google Mitt Romney plus sustainable development, it'll go on for pages.
Yeah, same too.
Yeah, see, and Perry too.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, who do we have? And to me, it's just he is definitely the best one we have that will probably give us the, he'll look us in the face and be honest with us. And I think that's all we need. And
we need a lot more than that. Who's on your school board? That's who we need. We need first. We need to deal with the children. We need to have school boards who say we're not following Department of Education rules.
Yeah, but then we have sheriffs, that bow down to the federal government instead of local. But we do need to build up from the local, because we have the most control over our local politicians for sure. The national levels are kind of untouchable. So.
And I look at your water situation, and they've got you in a box. You got Buffett wanting to tear down your dams because the federal government is telling you that you've got a huge amount of money must be spent to update your dams. If a broad enough segment of the population understood Agenda 21 and understood World Bank water policy, which is driving the busting of dams, they would simply say to the federal government, get lost. You have no authority under Article 1, Section 8, and we're not going to adopt your regulations, because you have no authority under Article 1, Section 8 to control the water supply of local communities. Read Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Find out what the federal government can do and elect officials who simply say, we're holding our dams, we're not making these modifications, these are the modifications we can afford, these are the modifications we're going to do, and that's the end of the story. And if you want to send your federal militia out here
to force our dam destruction, then just wait until you get the reaction you're going to get from the citizens here, because the federal government is not controlling our lives and moving us into smart growth centers in San Francisco Bay Area.
And
by
know,
the way, that rabbit hutch that you're talking about, you can go anywhere in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and you're seeing them here, and you'll see more and more. Now, real quickly, before we go on our break, there was a comment earlier on the chat room when we talk about local governments versus the federal agencies and the supposed power that the federal agencies have over local communities. Are you familiar with coordination, Michael, and the ability for any local elected body to sit down at the table and reach a consensus with the federal agencies?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a tool that you recommend or that you see in use?
Well, I know it's in use and it's having some successes, and I think it's fine. The problem I'd have with it is that it takes a whole lot of energy to coordinate on what I call one of the thousand octopus legs, and you
yes.
may win on one of the, on that one thousandth of the whole push for Agenda 21, and that's a good thing. But if you go through a coordination and you don't come out with the public understanding Agenda 21, all you've done, and this is an important thing to do, is buy a little time. Because the coordination will address one issue. There are many, many, many issues, and it takes a lot of time and effort to do coordination. Now, I'm not opposed to doing it, but in the process, people have to see the big picture. So that so that you're not sidewalked while you're focused on one narrow issue that you're coordinating.
Yeah, and
it comes at you from 100 degrees.
Yeah, and I do agree with that coordination does focus very narrowly on one particular issue with one particular agency, and you are so focused on accomplishing that particular act that you do have to, kind of put your blinders on to the bigger picture, because it can be overwhelming. But you're right. You have to keep the big picture.
That's right. And I know
forefront.
Fred Grant, has come around on this and now understands that Agenda 21 is at the core of everything that he seeks to use this process for. And that's a big step forward. But the public still does not understand that we're surrounded, that we've got a big hill to climb. It's not unclimbable. I mean, it will become unclimbable, but it is not yet. Public has to understand Agenda 21. Do your coordination. If you've got a land use issue that is affecting your rural landowners, go ahead and do that. But under the banner of understanding the big picture and keeping your eyes to the sidelines and seeing what else is sneaking up around you and causing the public to understand how globalism works, how it's in your town, and how it means the next generation will become livestock of ruling elite.
Exactly. Well, and we better take a... I'm not even going to say that. Bob's giving me the look.
Well, I'll just say, let's stick to the 10th Amendment. We got to get, the Federal Supremacy Act versus the 10th Amendment. That's what it is. Do the states have the power or do the feds? That's all I wanted to say. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Nate.
Bye.
Nate used to be our sound engineer.
So we're used to talking to Nate live, not Nate on the phone. Funny. All righty. We're going to take a quick break here and thank our advertisers. We will be back with We the People Radio here on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Take the children and yourself and hide out in the cellar. By now the fighting will be close at hand. Don't believe the church and state and everything they tell you.
To We the People Talk Radio. We're having fun here in the studio. Give us a call at 605-4567. Streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh, what I wouldn't give for a webcam.
Yeah, I know. Check out our media page. Robert has done a fabulous job with archive shows, present shows, and we've talked about having a webcam here in the studio and charging for that because it's really pretty funny. I just broke my whole headset. Normally,
rips off both the earpieces.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
She's stronger than she looks.
I am. I've been building up my arms, carrying my body weight around on those crutches.
Oh,
that's
forgot
why.
About that. You're a bruiser.
I'm a tough girl. Hey, so times are tough out there, and a lot of people in need, a lot of people hurting. Although that doesn't excuse bad behavior. So we have a little issue out there, and we want to fill you folks in.
Yeah, apparently some knucklehead and or pack of knuckleheads, we're not sure which, swiped all the money from the Vietnam Wall that's over at the Civic here in Reading. So instead of making a donation, they made a withdrawal.
Of the whole box.
Of the whole thing. And so, they've got to fund this effort, and they were taking donations for it, and now somebody stole it all. So if you can make it down to the Civic today, that would be fantastic. And throw a couple bucks in. If you happen to have recently won the lottery, could you throw a lot of bucks in? That would be awesome, because they only have one day to now make up for 4 days.
Yeah, and they're down there till 3 o'clock today. And if you can't get down to the Civic Auditorium, you can give Fred a call. And his number was right in front of me a second ago on the chat room.
Really? I did not see it.
Yes, I did.
Drats.
We'll get that to you.
Absolutely. And so, this is going to get stuck on the Missing in America project. Fred Salanti has put that together. And Missing in America is a project for veterans whose remains have not been claimed.
229-9000. 229-9000. Give Fred Salanti a call if you can help, funnel a little funds their way to make up for that massive withdrawal yesterday.
Thanks, Linda, for keeping us up to speed on that. She was sending us notes in the chat room about that. So that is lousy.
Not cool, folks, and you know who you are.
They will be paid back later. Okay, so back with our guest, Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. And Michael, your website, talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, our website, we initiated it back in 2001, before 9/11. And it started as a small group of us here in the central coast of Santa Cruz County, and it has grown. We now get contributions from all across America, from most English speaking countries. So we're able, lots of research and lots of writing. We're able to document how Agenda 21 plays out all around the world, and how it plays out specifically in the U.S. The horse that runs Agenda 21 into your town is well explained and exposed. Typical kinds of dynamics. It's always with different players in every local community, different names to the NGOs, but it always does the same thing. It creates this stack and pack 'em smart growth housing that you were describing in the Bay Area. The whole Bay Area now is subject to a One Bay Area plan, which some tea parties on the East Bay have done a marvelous job of outing and exposing through this consensus process and the bust-up of that consensus process that they've done. And what's happening here in the Bay Area, nine counties have all joined into this One Bay Area program, which is to put people in stack and pack houses, walkable communities, get rid of the automobiles, demolish existing single-family residences. You can go anywhere in the Bay Area now, and to build a single-family house is almost impossible.
Now, is that because of fees?
Oh, they use fees, they use zoning, they use the environmental entanglements. I mean, I have a parcel here in Santa Cruz that for 25 years I've attempted to build on. It's zoned for 29 houses. I can't build my own house on it. This is the kind of dynamic that is happening everywhere. Santa Cruz was the jumping off spot. Like I said, I've had problems for 25 years. The rest of the state, it's been the last, you know, few years, the last 5 years maybe, where these policies have been replicated from Santa Cruz and put into every community across the country. And, you know, Santa Cruz wasn't the only pilot ground, but, you know, that, Seattle, Birmingham, and a few others were the pilot spots for launching this a draconian globalist world order policy. And the only way we're going to fight it back is to know what we're fighting. And Sun Tzu, who said, you know, 2,500 years ago, that if you don't know your enemy, you cannot win the war. If you don't know yourself, you cannot win the war. Americans must re-educate themselves on the meaning of the American ideal, the constitutional provisions, and the principles enumerated in the Declaration of Independence. We start there, and then we have to understand Agenda 21. If you understand the American experiment, and you understand Agenda 21, and you cause others to understand it, we're going to start getting some real wins, and that will multiply, and then we will reestablish the pursuit of the American experience, where equal justice, independent living, will restore the whole American concept.
Well, it's not going to happen without action, too. And we have a lot of people who are getting, you know, becoming reacquainted, as you had said, you know, with the American experiment, and they're, you know, people are studying and learning and doing all those things. But man, I'll tell you what, nothing substitutes for boots on the ground. And I can tell you, just you know, with my stuff up in Siskiyou County that I've been working on, the sheer numbers of people that are pushing back, even though they have really small numbers in that county, but the percentage of them that are pushing back on all of these things with fish and game, especially with fish and game, actually,
good,
as of recently, last couple of weeks. Now we have Fish and Game coming to the Senate office and saying, you know, we'd like to get together with you guys. You know, we need to work on, you know, our relationship up there with people, because we're really not welcome, and we're having a problem. And it's really thrown them out of whack. I mean, they were going to mow them down. They came in with NOAA and, you know, started to read people their rights, and people flipped. The sheriff flipped. I mean, the amount of pushback has literally rocked them back on their heels, and now they're regrouping. So
that's great news, but be careful of their regroup. I mean, Fish and Game is a globalist organization that is on steroids. Fish and Game, you don't compromise with them.
No.
You defeat Fish and Game.
Well, and that's the thing, but you don't do it. I mean, you know, people look at it and they go, well, you know, our elected people should do that. I can tell you, there's no way to actually do that. But the people, like out in the Scott Valley, I mean, it's pretty cool. You'd be proud of them.
I've been reading about that.
Yeah, they ought to be your poster kids for pushback. Because I'll tell you what, those guys don't make a move in that valley that everybody doesn't know about.
Well, the key to the pushback is understanding what you're fighting. If you know what you're fighting for, you've got to know what you're fighting against. And if you think you're fighting against dam busting,
no,
you're wrong.
No, they realize...
Because you're fighting against Agenda 21.
Yeah, and they know that. And they also know that it's a multi-agency push. So the minute... Well, I mean, their water master fees have gone from like $68,000 to like $500,000+ overnight.
Yes.
And those all just hit their property taxes. I mean, there are people with $130,000 bill for Water Master service. And yeah. Water Master service doesn't do anything other than, basically help them solve any kind of internal squabbles between people that are all on the same irrigation ditch. Well, a lot of these people said, hey, we don't have a problem. We want out. But they have it rigged so that they can't. The Water Master was only a six-month job. Now suddenly it's a year-round job, and they're doing all sorts of other things. They've added all sorts of, you know, quote-unquote duties to the Water Master that the people don't want or need. But now they have to pay, but now they got to pay for
it. Up there, or do you have aquifers?
Yeah, both.
Okay.
You have a lot of different things going on there.
Well, I think what's important for the citizens to understand, you know, the great effort over the last 50 years in California is to confuse landowners about the nature of California water law. And so let's give a little summary of what California water law is, what California water law has been since 1849, and why it is that California and Texas have the most perfected water laws in the history of the world. And what do I mean by perfected water laws? I mean this. Aquifers in California belong to the overlying land user. So if you've got a water district that is making orders about how water gets used, you need to put them in. The California Supreme Court has repeatedly ruled that water districts can only take surplus water out of an aquifer, and that the primary rights to aquifer water belong to overlying landowners. That's how a farmer can water his crops, because he owns not just the surface land, but he owns a core down to the center of the earth and everything that's in there. Now you say, well, what if the water's overpumped by the farmers? Well, then there is a provision under California law that can limit how much water, based upon acreage owned, a landowner can pump from the aquifer. But what California agencies have been doing for decades in this state is telling landowners that water authority sits in Sacramento. That's simply false. And so landowners cannot be duped into allowing their wells to be monitored and taxed, or in allowing the kind of regulatory authorities that are coming out from everywhere now on the draw and use of their water. Now, surface water is a bit different. Surface water, the state has a lot more authority because there are people downstream who are entitled to that water flow. And so if you're taking stream water, there is some regulatory constraints. But in general, aquifer water, don't ever get fooled, because that's how they get people off the land, is telling them that the water is not theirs. And if you don't have water, you don't live.
Right. Well, and even the adjudicated water rights up there, there is really no question that anybody's taking more than their allotted water. What they're doing is, you know, it's the old end around. Oh, you know, we have to control and monitor the nutrient level in the water. Oh, we have to control and monitor, for the fish. This is where the fish all come in, because they can't get a hold of the water rights, so they're going to control it back through the Endangered Species Act.
Well, that's right, and that's why we need to understand that the Endangered Species Act is a model international UN legislation designed for one purpose, and that is to abrogate property rights. And of course, that's what the American experiment is all about, is the preservation of natural rights that are imbued in every human being, and it cannot be squashed by government directly or indirectly with a million rules that end up compromising
a human being's natural right to live and produce in his own way.
Exactly. And on that thought, we're going to take a two-minute break and thank our advertisers. We'll be back with you here at We the People Radio. Check us out online, wethepeopleradio.us. We are streaming live here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Folks, globalist theme song is the primary motivating factor. Rule the world. Welcome back to We the People Talk Radio. We're in our last 20 minutes. Give us a call. You know the number. We're chatting and streaming live, and we're with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, and we're talking about all things Agenda 21, the movement from the top on down to rule your life.
Actually, it's from the bottom on up, I think.
Yeah.
Because that would be us on the bottom, and they seem to have us in the crosshairs a lot. Hey, Michael, before we get too far along, somewhere back in like the first 45 minutes, somebody asked about somebody named Kelly Mordecai. Is that a name? Is that a name you know?
Say that again?
A guy named, or maybe it's a lady, I don't know, Kelly Mordecai, who wrote the book Hidden Fourth Branch.
I do not know that. Is it about regionalism?
I don't know. Somebody just wrote it in our chat room, and I said I'd ask, and now an hour and a half's gone by, and so I thought I'd better do it before we ran out of time.
No, I do not know that name. It sounds like a discussion on regionalism, because we do have four branches of government in this country, and our local government system has been neutered. And you see that in the reaction.
It's about the grand jury. It's the fourth branch is the grand jury.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then that's, you know, that's the whole jury nullification concept ties into that. Grand juries can be useful, but the problem is that here in Santa Cruz, when we first got enmeshed in this back in the 80s, we had a big issue presented to the grand jury. And, you know, we had that grand jury convinced to, you know, to blow the cover on how it was that this land use control was coming about. And the county council went to the grand jury and said, if you don't get my approval for what you issue, we will not defend you in any legal proceedings. And so as a consequence, the whole grand jury dropped the issue. They were too afraid that they would be intimidated legally by those who were pushing for this globalist agenda. And so my experience with grand juries was that it didn't work, and that's because county council got in the way of controlling how it is the grand juries are supposed to operate.
Hmm. You know, I'll tell you what, every single time you chip away at some of this stuff, it goes... I shouldn't say every single time, because a lot of times it goes to an agency that traffics up to, well, I guess it is every single time, traffics up to somebody who's elected. That most, you know, our agencies are all controlled then by the governor's office. I don't think we have been, as voters, I don't think we've done a very good job for a long enough time that I think we've gotten so many people in there that are screwed up. We need to really... need to unelect a ton of them.
Well, that's because everybody we elect is either a Democrat or a Republican, and the only way you get support of either of those parties is to behave globally and act locally. And so we need to start electing people that are not supported
by political parties. We need to elect local officials who have no connection to this globalist arranged political order, which is now taken over all of America.
Yeah, and the tricky part is within the structure that we have, it gets a little harder all the time.
Well, here's how you solve that problem. You create some general awareness of Agenda 21, and you run, not with the support of the Republicans, not with the support of the Democrats, but with the support of other people who understand Agenda 21.
And especially at the local level, so many of those local elected positions are nonpartisan, so it doesn't really matter. You can get in.
Well, that's true, but don't think that the people elected to school board aren't supported by one of the other parties.
No, I understand that, you don't have to run on a party platform.
That's right. You don't need the party support. You just need to, even if you run on an anti-Agenda 21 program and don't win, you're awakening people, and the next time around we get real citizens and not political operatives elected to local office. And that's the solution. Back in a suburb of D.C., Carroll County, Maryland, people ran for county supervisor against Ickley. I mean, they ran to throw Ickley out. And a whole majority of newly elected people committed to do that were elected. They kicked Ickley out. Now, of course, they're paying the consequence for that with some real threatening action as a counter response. But there's a place where a stake for liberty has been put into the ground, and a call to repeal all of the Ickley-driven Agenda 21 policies in that county is now underway. This can happen other places. Ickley has been kicked out of about two dozen cities in the last 6 months. And, progress can be made, but it's got to be made at the local level, and it's got to be brought by you, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, because the structure as it exists today is going to take us down. It's going to, our dollar is going to be squished. Our lifestyle is going to be decimated. Our population is going to reduce. And life is going to become rather miserable unless we throw the globalist program off our shores. You got to remember that at the core of globalism is the belief that human beings are simply another species, and that their numbers need to be controlled.
Yeah, another species, even, equal to,
Yes, equal to. Equal to, and sometimes
actually,
not equal to.
Actually, subservient. Yeah. Well, and subservient, too, because you see, that people are growing, growing food, and yet fish that are not endangered, I mean, truly. There's one part of one guy's creek up there that he just had he had the top scientist on the West Coast as an expert for coho salmon. The guy came, brought his wetsuit, his diving stuff. He went down into this guy's creek there, and he said, "You absolutely have a minimum of 200,000 coho salmon right here." That's just in one spot. So it's like, really? How endangered are they? But see, that's not the point. We fight on, a lot of times we fight on science, but when you get right down to it, it doesn't have anything to do with it. We better take a really quick break here so we can come back and not be jammed up against our 10 o'clock end point. So we've got 15 minutes left. If you've got questions for Michael Shaw, you better hurry up and call him. Number's 530-605-4567, or fire him through on the chat room. Go to wethepeopleradio.us. You can find all of our archives and stuff there. And if you have a couple extra shekels, get on down to the Reading Convention Center and donate them to the wall. They have had all of their donations lifted by some evil and nefarious person, and they need your help. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
So don't tell me.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
All right, last 10 minutes. Leave us alone. Welcome back to We the People
Radio.
That's
the theme.
Leave us alone.
All right, Mr. Shaw, this is the thing.
Just got a call on the break by somebody who's not doesn't want to be on the radio, Comrade Ann. And Comrade Ann just had a bunch of trees that she had to cut down in her the back of her yard because the Army Corps of Engineers was going to fine her to death, and we're still waiting to get the full story on that, which is a mess. But she's also on the Central Committee and very aware of Agenda 21 and working hard with us to get rid of that. And she just wanted to point out for all those folks that have infiltrated the party madness with an effort to actually make a difference that they are doing that. That everybody who's connected to the party system isn't lockstep with trashing property rights, etc.
Oh, I understand that. The American Republican, just like the American Democrat, is American. The problem is that the party leadership, both parties, is globalist.
There you go. But when you get down to it, unless we switch that around. Oh, you know, somebody also asked in the chat room, and I was remiss and didn't say anything. Would you be an advocate of a third party system or a new party system or something?
Well, I'm an advocate for taking back your school board. You know, nobody's going to swoop in and save us from on top. We got to start at the bottom, water boards, school boards, fire boards. And, you know, if you're concerned about these things and you want to get involved, don't wait. Don't wait for the political system to decide who it is going to be your representative on these things. Make it yourself. Make it like-minded people. Get in control. Don't send your children to schools with Federal Department of Education, because the whole purpose of the Federal Department of Education is to indoctrinate your child into the new order. That's the purpose. They don't teach in seventh grade any longer the nature of the American experience. They're taught that they need to be walking, that the climate is changing. They need to get out of their cars. They need to eat different kinds of foods. They need to be told what to do. They need to live in stack 'em and pack 'em housing. That's what our children are being taught.
Yeah, and unfortunately, unless people do really pay close attention, you have a lot of folks that actually are paying a lot more attention than they used to with what's going on.
Sure.
in their kids' education. And you know, when you get down to it, there are so many places you have to pay attention that it's almost keeping everybody divided. And I think programs like this, I think the internet, I think the nonpartisan focus of the Tea Party, those kinds of things allow people to communicate and I guess stay grounded with each other, even though they can't spend every waking hour, you know, fighting the battle, I guess.
But you know, my advice for parents, and I've had five children, and you know, by the last one, I really had the system down, and having the system down, what I mean by that is that my last child never went to a conventional grammar school or a conventional high school. She basically was self-taught with some outside homeschooling things in between, and it works so much better. It works so much better for your child, for the family, and for society. You know, she ended up graduating at age 20 from Berkeley with a honors degree in philosophy. And this can happen, but not if you send your child to your local public first grade. Because it starts then. I've spoken in so many places, you know, and this happens usually when I'm at a women's group. And I'll have some women come up to me afterwards, and I can remember a number of cases where they just start to cry as they begin to express how they lost their child
to the government school system. And now their child is a sustainabler. And they just got totally indoctrinated into the New World Order, and here we go. And so you got to be careful of the schools you send your children to.
You know, I know we're going to be wrapping it up here in a couple of minutes, but I have a niece that joined the Peace Corps after college. She got a degree in international economics and thought she would go save the world. And so she's currently in Ethiopia learning how to build ceramic stoves and teaching other Peace Corps volunteers how to organize. In a nutshell, the program isn't making any kind of a difference significantly on the quality of the lives of the people that actually live there. In fact, most of the people are not that open to someone coming in and trying to change their world. So, you know, the Peace Corps, I, like a lot of people, used to think that was such a good thing. I mean, what a great thing that we're going over and making a difference and helping others. But if you find out what she does on a day-to-day basis, really no impact.
Well, we've got to remember, George Washington said, government is not reason. Government is not persuasion. Government is force. And so when the United States government goes over in the form of the Peace Corps, we're not getting anything that, churches would not be able to do better, or other social organizations that didn't have the effect and power of force. You got to remember that anything comes from government in terms of international operations has a motive, and the motive is power and control. Government is supposed to be limited, otherwise we surrender our rights as human beings. And the Peace Corps does nothing to advance rights of human beings.
No, it's there are so many things that are operating out there that, you know, it's interesting. The battle in the first hour was really the Fed versus Agenda 21, and the thought process, I think, was that if we ended the Fed, we could fix Agenda 21 just because it would automatically be defunded. But I don't see that happening. I don't see all those rules, regulations, bureaucracies all going away unless you absolutely have a complete and total meltdown and go Mad Max and Thunderdome. I mean, just so we tie that loose end up, how do you see that going?
Well, I see it that way. Nate's comments about the monetary system are at the base of the whole Agenda 21 movement. You know, let's face it, if it was you and I who had created the modern fiat system that now covers the entire world, and we, like our predecessors who had funny money systems, in centuries bygone, come to the point where you say, well, our system's going to blow up because that's economic law. You can't have funny money and have it last forever. So what they do is they decide to implode their own system. So I think that's what we're in the process now. And all of these grubby little smart growth advocates are getting panicked because they know their monetary system is blowing up. And so they've got a short time frame to get their stack 'em and pack 'em housing units in place with the walkable communities so that nobody needs a car. And everybody's getting frustrated because the kings who control the monetary system, these aren't just literally kings, but the chieftains of the monetary system, are imploding the system. And so what happens next? And, that's why people worry about the dawning of martial law.
Yeah, very much so.
Check us out
on that happy note.
Check us out on Facebook, folks.
Absolutely, We the People Radio. Thank you, Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. Jump on the website. You can learn all about that. We'll see you next week with more exciting news of We the People.
Let's roll, America. There's a battle to be won. Wake up, America. Until you're
KCNR, Shasta Redding.